We're glad you're here this evening. We have a number who are visiting, and we're thankful for your presence. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself in this part of the country and have a safe trip home when that time comes. But we're glad to be together tonight, glad to be able to open the scriptures. And tonight we'll be looking at a few verses from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 19 in just a moment. As members of the body of Christ, we understand the relationship that we have with one another is that of a family. We are a part of a spiritual family, made kin, brothers and sisters, through Christ Jesus, being added by God to the church or the body of His Son. And we have concern for the welfare of one another. Sometimes we may be separated from people that we know, members of the body of Christ, that for years we haven't really heard how they're doing. But we certainly hope they're doing well. We certainly pray that they are still faithful to the Lord, that they are not turned aside to false teaching or have given into the ways of the world and love those things more than God. And this was the concern that the Apostle Paul had so many times expressed in the Scriptures as a desire to know how his converts or those he led to the Lord, how are they doing? Were they still faithful? What was going on with them? And he expresses this here in this verse in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." So he is writing this epistle to the church in Philippi. He does trust that they're faithful. He believes that everything is going well. He knows the kind of people that they are. There's been some time that he hasn't had any report. But he trusts that they're faithful to the Lord, and his desire is that when Timothy is able to go there and then bring back word, that he'll hear a good report, that everything is going well. What this reminds us of is that we ought to have a very strong concern for the individuals that we know are members of the body of Christ, whether we're separated from them just a little distance and maybe haven't been in touch for a while, but it might be that there's been much time that has passed. But how are these souls doing? And it might be someone that we've led to the Lord, someone that we've had a hand in having an influence upon them. Do we try to touch base? Do we make sure that those who we know our Christians are still faithful to God? Does it concern us that they might have drifted? You see, here Paul was frequently expressing this concern for his fellow Christians. And this should be something that motivates us to do something perhaps we haven't done for a while, and that is go and check on somebody who may or may not still be with the Lord, faithful. And how easy it is for us today compared to then. You know, he had to send Timothy. Wait till word comes back. We can give a call. We can do a search on the internet. You might be able to find them on Facebook. Who knows? But there might be souls that you can have an influence on bringing back to the Lord if they've wandered. But there is a great need for us to have this same concern and love as Paul did for his brethren. What he expresses in verse 20 has to do with Timothy, and it was a part of the reason why he would send Timothy to check on them, because he says, verse 24, "I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." So Timothy is going to be sent because Paul had a lot of confidence in this young man, because here is one who felt for the brethren like Paul did. We know that God and that Christ has a care for all believers, that there is nothing lacking in their concern and for their desire to make sure that none perish, but that all come to repentance, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The question is, are we like-minded with people like Paul, like Timothy, like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who have an intense compassion, concern for those who are members with us of the body of Christ, who may have drifted or who may be in a state of danger spiritually? You know, sometimes you don't even have to look that far, do you? Sometimes within your own congregation, there might be souls that are not present for various reasons. At various assemblies, it may be a habitual problem. It may be that there have been some that have not been present for quite some time. Do we have a sincere care for the state of the saints? Are we like-minded with those who are set as an example to believers of being genuinely concerned? Are these people saved? Are they lost? What is their spiritual condition? And what can I do to make sure that they are right with God? Paul sends Timothy to make sure that he might get a report and then be able to deal with anything that may be amiss in their lives. But he trusts that he might be encouraged because he believes, last time he heard, that they were faithful to the Lord. We need to be sincere in our love for the brethren, because sometimes there are those in this life who we don't want to be anything like. Verse 21. Because Paul had others that he could maybe speak to and summon, but they wouldn't be of the quality of Timothy. They were of a different nature. What he points out in verse 21, for all these others, in other words, seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. So here are the others, unlike Timothy, that were motivated not purely in their hearts to do what they did, even in the service of the Lord. And therefore he says, these seek their own. They're after something other than the genuine welfare of the brethren. It's similar to many of the religious leaders who no doubt had an influence upon some that followed them, such as the Pharisees, who did what they did out of impure motives, and Jesus pointed it out and said, you know, they've done all these things and they have their reward, which is the praise of men, the glorification of human beings, but from human beings. But he says they are lost in that condition. They're not going to be saved because of the motives that move them. We must be purely motivated. We must not be those who seek their own. In fact, Paul had already in the previous verses of this same chapter mentioned this very point, that we're not to do anything as God's people from selfish ambition. It's not about us. Whatever we do should be motivated by, I want to please God, or I want to help other people. I want to do for, not what can I receive, what can I get. He says, let each of you, verse 4, look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. We're to be concerned and not just be seekers of our own. That means we have to branch out and be concerned about others. We're concerned about ourselves. We're concerned about our spouses. We're concerned about our children. It's got to be a lot more than that. The whole world needs saving. The whole brotherhood needs to be one and unified, and we can have an influence upon those within our circle, within our influence, our knowledge, our ability to touch their lives with sincerity. And then Paul says concerning Timothy, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. All of us, at some point in time, are going to be scrutinized in regard to our character by God. He already knows what we are and what we're made of, but there will be a day of reckoning and a day of accountability in terms of the kind of people that we've decided to be. Because for every single one of us, we aren't just what we were made by somebody else. We aren't just what we are solely because we were influenced by our parents to be a certain way, to think a certain way, to react in certain ways, whatever it might be. But we get to a point where we make our own decisions and God holds us accountable for what we personally do. We live in a culture and a society that is very much about, victims and their rights. And it gets to the point where things are all flipped around to where sometimes, you know, the person who has this mentality of being a victim does not in any way take accountability for what they do, their responsibility for their actions. And it's as if, don't point the finger at me, even though I did this, which was sinful, because someone else is to blame, is the idea. We can't live that way or think that way as Christians. We have to understand, for each and every one of us, we make choices that determine our future. And we, in regard to our character, can have character that is proven to be exceptional, Christ-like, of the fruit of the Spirit, or we can have character that is lacking, as Paul had just dealt with in verse 21, self-seekers, those who walk according to the ways of the world. And so we want God to look down upon us tonight and from this day forward as those who seek to have the kind of character that when it comes to the testing that God will put it through will be found as pure and righteous and will be glorified by God because it is like unto God. As we think about that which Paul speaks here to the church in Philippi, we're reminded of the care that we need to have for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we need to reach out and try to touch lives that may be drifting, to make sure that we have that genuine concern that causes us to want to know and then to do what we can do to help them. And we need to be like Timothy and being sincerely, genuinely caring for those of our Christian family who do not, as some, have concern only about what we can get out of what we do, but instead what we can do that will help others to climb closer and closer toward God on their journey toward heaven. And furthermore, we want to have character before God that He will show us in the last day when He examines us and we are judged, that when we hear those words, it will have to do with faithfulness. It will have to do with a servant who has done his master's will and will receive a reward because we have walked in the ways of goodness and righteousness. Tonight, reflect upon your own life. Reflect upon where you stand with God and ask yourself if you and your life lines up with the things that we've discussed tonight. Ask yourself if you are even a child of God, where sins have been washed away, you're on the journey toward heaven, you have the promises and the blessings that belong to believers. If not, you need to make a decision at some point, and we would hope tonight could be the night, that you'll believe in Christ Jesus, turn away from your past sins, acknowledge your faith, and be baptized so that your sins can be washed away. The blood of Jesus Christ can remove everything you've ever done so that you're pure and clean, sinless before God, added by God to the church, part of the eternal kingdom, which will never have an end. You have hope when you're a Christian. But if you've wandered from that state of confident assurance that you're walking faithfully with God because you know in your heart that you've drifted or you're living in sin, then you need to repent of your sins before it's too late. You need to reconcile with God. You need to turn to the one who will this very night cleanse you and receive you back to Himself. Because for those who are saints, the way back to God comes through acknowledging what we've done and having that forgiveness that the Lord continually offers to us and gives us when we turn back to Him after we've wandered. So tonight, if you need to come, we encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing.